It is the season of calves in Custer State Park. We're going to talk about the American bison for our Images of the Past segment now. And here for that is our friend Gary Enright. He's with the 1881 Courthouse Museum in Custer. Gary Enright, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you. I always look forward to this day.
I do as well. So I'm looking at what you have written on Images of the Past online. 500,000 years the American bison has been in North America. That is fascinating.
It really is, and one of the more fascinating things about it is that it's the only place in the world where you find the American bison is in North America. It's a kind of an indigenous animal.
So tell me when humans first start interacting with the bison.
Well, the only thing that archaeologists and historians have to go by are the cave art and the paintings that existed and the carvings that existed and that were preserved inside of caves in the west and southwestern part of the United States. And those go back probably 15,000 years, something like that. We know that there was a group of Palo Indians that lived in Custer County 11,000 years ago. So, and they painted pictures of buffalo. So it goes back quite a ways.
And this is before horses came. So how are those people, those original people who interact with the buffalo, how are they interacting with them? Are they hunting them and using them?
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
As a matter of fact, one of the key elements of capturing the buffalo were, number one, to sneak up on them, and number two was to drive them over cliffs, and they would stampede the buffalo by having blankets throwing in the air, buffalo robes, whatever it was, to scare the buffalo. And the buffalo aren't the brightest animals in the whole world, and they scare rather easily. And so as a result of that, they were able to harvest large numbers of buffalo to sustain them over the winter months and to get tools and hides, and almost all of the teepees were made out of buffalo hides. So time immemorial has passed to try to determine how many years it's been to find out just how long the Native American people used the buffalo, but I think it's centuries.
And so they would drive them off a cliff and then climb down and harvest
the
remains.
Correct. Yep, they would do that. And the odd part about that was that the men were the ones traditionally who scared the buffalo over the hill and down the cliff, and then the women were the ones who had to do the butchering and get the material ready to the meat ready to make jerky and pemmican. They mixed it with choke cherries. They take the dried beef or buffalo meat and they chop it all up in little pieces, and they'd mix it with berries of all kinds, and then they preserved it by using tallow, and that was their winter staple. They used buffalo extensively.
And how much does it play in their storytelling, mythology, spirituality?
Well, the buffalo were regarded as being a spiritual animal to the Native Americans. Even today, if you talk to Native people, there's a special reverence to the buffalo. And as a matter of fact, I believe, and so do many other writers who have researched this subject, is that the preservation, the final saving of the buffalo, which we talk about probably will just a little bit later, actually came about as the result of influences made by Native American women who were married to the two cowboys, so to speak, who saved the buffalo in America.
So before they can be saved, they have to be at risk. So what happens when the white settlers and the cowboys arrive?
Well, the estimate is, by historians, is that there was somewhere in the vicinity of 50 to 60 million buffalo on the prairies of North America. And this would be dating it back to probably the early 1700s. Then when the French fur trappers came and they started hunting, trapping, and all of that sort of thing, they came across these multiple herds that were 20 miles wide and 50 miles long one herd of buffalo moving across the country. And they go back east and they started telling these stories, and everybody was just fascinated by the fact that all of these animals lived out on the American prairie. And so they found out also that there might be a market for some of the products, not just the meat, but the buffalo robes and tongues. That was a delicacy, apparently, back in the diet of the people in those years. And they came out west and just started killing buffalo by the millions, literally.
Also a way to control the tribes they were trying to dominate, right?
Well, that, yes, and that became one of the things that occurred after the settlers started moving in, and they discovered that these Native American people had depended so strongly on the buffalo for their existence and for their homes and for their tools and for their weapons, and everything that the Native Americans did actually centered around the buffalo. And somebody got the bright idea, that's the way to control them. We will kill all the buffalo, and then we can control the people, and then we'll give them whatever food that we feel they should have, and whatever happened in as a result of that. And the irony of this, and this number is challenged by some writers and some historians, but some people have said that from 50 to 60 million buffalo in the 1700 up until 1889, the year that South Dakota became a state, there were 541 buffalo left in America. That's almost incredible to even fathom, to try to figure out how close we came to losing this magnificent buffalo.
And let's close out with these women that you mentioned earlier, these Native American women who are married to white men, and how do they kind of save the American bison?
Well, there is a man who lived up in the Cheyenne in River Indian Reservation in north central South Dakota named Frederick Dupree. He was a Frenchman. He married a Mary Good Elk woman who was a Native American of that particular area. And there was another man later on who comes into the picture named Scotty Phillip that most South Dakotans know about. Mm. He was married to Sarah Larrabee, who was a Native American woman also. Well, Mr. Dupree decided that maybe we ought to save some of these buffalo. So he captured 5 head of buffalo and kept them, grew his herd over the years up until he had about somewhere between 70 and 80 head. When he died, his children sold the animals to Scotty Phillip. Scotty Phillip was a rancher at Fort Pierre. He decided he wanted to be involved in saving the buffalo, so he bought 70 head of buffalo from the Dupree family.
And
that 70 head turned into thousands.
Wow. Gary Enright, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Gary Enright is the director of the 1881 Courthouse Museum in Custer. Thanks for coming again today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And you can see photos of the buffalo and many of the things Gary was talking about online, sdpb.org/images of the past.